Hey, what's going on, everyone? How you guys doing? It's late or early, depending on where you are. I wanted to try this little tester out tonight. Welcome to the very pilot, first episode, if you will, of Boulder Talk Radio. This is something that I thought would be funny to do. Something that'd be the play into the meme is what I'm thinking. Right after all, the last 2 years, I might as well just have a little bit of fun with something that I think is ridiculous. But at this point, my name is now synonymous on the internet with boulders. I was thinking, like, you know, I had a lot of fun just talking to everybody the other night. Like, you know what? I gotta come up with a name. I gotta come up with a name, a good fucking name, something that's gonna be funny and very much reminiscent of the past couple years. So why not? I just started calling it Boulder Talk Radio, and that's something I think is funny. You may not think it's funny. That's entirely okay. So I've spent the whole evening tonight working on this new training I have to do. I got a new job, and I had a lot of online training, and it's like 9 hours of online training, and I'm like, I burnt out on the fucking training. So I thought, you know, I'll just fire this thing up. We'll give it a test for maybe 35, 40 minutes, see how it goes, see what works, see what doesn't work. I've been kind of off and on playing with the OBS setup, so this is more of a tester. I do see that Nicholas DiOrio is here. I don't know if he's still watching, but hey, what's going on, dude? I know it's 4 a.m. your time. You East Coaster, you. Me, on the other hand, it's not even 1 a.m. yet. So the West Coast people, we're doing pretty good, you know. We're doing pretty good. The bars are still open for about another 30 minutes if you can find a bar that's open anywhere on the West Coast. I think in Washington, bars here are open. But yeah. So we'll do this again. Let me just take a look. You're chilling. You're chilling. That's good, dude. That's good. I gotta say, Nick, I never fucking know what you're going on about these days on Twitter. I don't know who you've angered. I don't know which group you've been lumped into this time. I don't know which e-celeb is gunning for your head on a silver platter. I literally have no idea anymore. You are so wrapped up in so much stuff that I'm like, well, you know what? My days of knowing about all of this internet drama is 100% over. My days of knowing about all of that is kind of done. And I'm okay with it. I think a lot of it's stupid. The stuff we saw this week, though, was a little bit different. The stuff we saw this week was very entertaining in a horrible, terrible, absolute train wreck travesty sort of way. You know, I think one of the running gags was 8/11 was really 9/11 for this part of the internet. And by that, obviously, I'm referring to a particular tape that got out there, a particular disgusting, horrific, abhorrent situation involving a gunt and an 18-year-old girl in a very compromised position. And yeah, it's been very interesting to watch this whole situation unfold this week, really, because of last night's deflection. And I have to call it a deflection. And I don't even call it masterful, because anyone with half a brain that isn't completely drunk could see exactly what happened last night. You know, you had Ralph go out there and he's all like, well, some intimate recordings were put out there and people learned a couple things about me. Oh yeah, you like to sniff ass. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like you like to face plant a fart box. I mean, maybe. That was earlier on in the escapade. We just don't get that on tape, and I'm okay with that. But you know what I love about it? What I love the most about it was the absolute deflection, the guntflection, if you will, from any kind of responsibility. You know, there was no acknowledgement of his own actions, which to me was the wildest thing. There was literally no acknowledgement of his own actions. You have a guy so pissed drunk that he leaks out a sex tape in order to piss off and own the current online boyfriend of his girlfriend. This guy's dropping DMs that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that this 18-year-old girl is playing both of them. And what Ralph does is leak the sex tape. And this is like on stream. And even his comments in the chat were like in the stream. You know that it's him. And his friends are like deflecting. His friends are you know, running defense for this. And then he comes out and he just goes, nah, it's just, you know, stuff got out there. Like, no responsibility. And what I don't get is how this story has not blown up in the way that it should have blown up. You know, like I've been noticing that there are several YouTubers that have done some pretty abhorrent things recently. Things that should, like, for lack of a better term, cancel them. And it's not that Ralph is a YouTuber. He's been banned permanently. But just online personalities. And so they've done these things. There's been threats of doxing. You know, threats of releasing private information of smaller channels in the movie sphere. You know, and like that one was well known, well discussed, but I was really surprised that no one really ran with it. You know, you figure like this is a big deal. And then you have this and it's like, no, it's kind of crickets. Kind of crickets. Maybe it's the world we live in now. And maybe I'm a bit cynical, you know, because what happened to me 2 years ago lived on for like 6 months, you know. But here you've got literal revenge porn, threats of doxing, all this really terrible stuff. And like, no one cares. Maybe that's just 2020 in a fucking nutshell. You know what I mean? Maybe that's just 2020 in a fucking nutshell. Yeah, Nick, you definitely have a very interesting time. Billy Bob asks, why did it take you this long to finally play this off? You know what, man? I don't know why. I really, honest to God, do not have an answer to that question. I think for me, a big part of it had a lot to do with just like, I embraced the meme, but like maybe didn't fully dive into it, you know, not to say that I would like go to a YouTuber meetup wearing like a Boulder costume or something along those lines. But this was always funny to me. And I think like, I just had to kind of like get to a point where I was just like fucking done and like not care anymore. And that's basically where I'm at. So that's what I can see there. Alvy Green says, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for coming in. Appreciate that. Let's see. Anthony Chobot. Am I excited for DC fandom? Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think some of the programming is kind of lame. You know, this is a, if those of you guys who don't know, like the few of you that are in here, DC fandom is this event happening next weekend. You know, AT&T, HBO, Warner Brothers, they're coming together. They're bringing out DC, 24 hours of just nonstop DC content. And they've actually got a corporate sponsored panel about like diversity. And it's not that I'm against diversity. I have to make that abundantly clear. But when I see a corporate entity running that sort of thing, for me, part of my phone is going to look crazy. But when I see a corporate entity pushing that, I feel like it's that whole meme that comes off of, you know, Pride Month, June, right? Like all these corporations, YouTube, Google, Twitter, Facebook, you know, Kmart, McDonald's, everybody runs these pride flags. And then July 1st rolls around. And then it's gone. You know, it's like Christmas decorations being yeeted by the 26th of December. You know, like it feels so fake to me. It feels so like it just feels fake and I can't get behind it at all. But I am excited for DC fandom. I want to see what the Zack Snyder Justice League is going to bring. I want to see what the Flash is going to be talking about, especially after that Ezra Miller situation where he choked a lady out in Iceland. I believe choked her out in Iceland. And there was like nothing that came from that. And that's wild, man. It's wild to me that you've got a guy like Ezra Miller who gets drunk and he chokes out a lady and it's on film and it goes out there and like nothing happens. You know, it's like the media doesn't report on it. You know, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, they reported on Amber Heard's accusations against Johnny Depp, but Johnny Depp has been fighting back in the legal system, and there's been a couple things, but it quickly died. You know, Ray Park posts a porn of his wife polishing his lightsaber, and not one mainstream outlet picks it up. Not one. You know, not in the age of Me Too, right? Because and then they gave themselves plausible deniability by saying that it was accidental. Come on. If you've ever fucking posted to Instagram, you know for a goddamn fucking fact that it is not by any stretch of the imagination accidental to post anything. There's literally like three checkpoints you have to go through. There's the initial click the button to want to post something. Then it's you got to click the button in order to select the media you want to upload. Then you go right over to the, the filter, right? You go to the filter phase. And then you go to the final page, which is the, hey, what's your text? What's your hashtags? What's your hashtag game like to be an Insta influencer, right? Like, what do you do here? And then it went through all those steps and he posted it. But it was accidental. I've learned at this day and age, nothing's accidental. But if you push the narrative that hard, if you really push the narrative that hard and you get it out at the right time, it can be perceived that way. But I think any bit of actual digging into the situation would probably make it all come crumbling down. And that is just where we find ourselves in 2020. That's what I've come to realize. It's just like people are getting away with shit that a couple of years ago they wouldn't get away with at all. And people just don't care. And maybe that's for the best, to be honest with you. If I'm being, you know, maybe that is ultimately for the best. Not to say that people should be like absolved of their sins and everything. But what I mean by that is there's so much else going on in the world. You know, COVID, 165,000 Americans are dead. Who knows what it's going to be like once we get into the colder season and this shit flares up again like a bad case of fucking herpes. But maybe people are just more focused on other things. Maybe it's going to be the election. Maybe we're going to get another 4 more years of Trump. Maybe we're going to get Biden and Harris. Maybe, you know, maybe we're going to get it really is kind of going to be Harris versus Trump at this point, because Biden, who knows if he's going to live. You know, at any point in time, Biden could catch COVID and, you know, and more or less kick the bucket. That could be a reality as well. We don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen. And then is Kamala still going to get run? Are they going to push Kamala through if that goes through? I don't know. I'm not too sure. Yeah, I don't. She doesn't have the delegates to get the nomination at the DNC, but Buttigieg does. Right? He's got some. You know, Bernie's got a lot too, but there's no way in fucking hell they're gonna push Bernie. There's no way in hell, and that's unfortunate. But you know, the world we live in is pretty fucking crazy at times. So anyway, let's see. Someone at WB likes kinky shit. I guess so, man. I guess so. All right, let me take a look here at the chat. All right, we've got Keji Johnson. I've always thought the same thing with Black Lives Matter. I always saw the support these companies and reporters and the like express their support for the hypocritical movement is just fake as hell. Well, you know, Keji, here's my take on that, dude. Okay, so a couple years ago, I would have agreed with you. Because there's elements within Black Lives Matter as a whole that do very much bring the movement down. And a big factor on that front is Black Lives Matter Toronto. They've, in my mind, they've done some stuff that could be akin to, you know, I don't want to go. I mean, I think I might have called it like domestic terrorism a couple of years ago. I didn't have a better term for it. I don't know what you would call something that's like a lesser terminology than that, if I'm being honest with you. But the way I view it is like their actions were definitely terrible. And the organization of the group is terrible. And you look at whatever's going on with Black Lives Matter now. And again, it's not there's organization within the group. Like there's some leadership there, but it's not like a de facto leader. So they kind of just operate. And I think people now are like starting to understand that like the police do need to like, you know, really figure out their shit. But the problem is always going to be outside agitators, and that ends up then really pushing the narrative. So, for example, like when Michael Brown was shot and killed 6 years ago, that's what kind of the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement, and people rushed into Ferguson, Missouri, and they looted it. That I think it was Little Caesars got burned down. You know, cops were just kept on the outskirts of town. The media was all there reporting on it. You know, you had the militarized police force using tear gas and other, you know, like military grade weaponry on protesters. And it was this massive media shitstorm. It was a massive media shitstorm. And that kind of started the narrative at that point in time. But what we also found out was there was a lot of outside agitators that came in, you know, and here it is 6 years later. And Darren Wilson, just recently, no one talked about this that I saw, but Darren Wilson was brought up again, the cop who shot and killed Michael Brown. And they were, you know, once again, trying to get Darren Wilson charged with murder. They've been trying to now for 6 years. And the truth of the matter is, the evidence supports his story, which was Michael Brown reached for his gun. They scuffled over it and he shot him in self-defense. What happened was the media narrative. The media narrative with the hands up, don't shoot, when you had his friend who was saying that on CNN and then CNN, you know, mimicking that narrative time and time and time and time again during August of 2014. You know, there was a lot going on back then, and that was something that really kind of spurred this. And George Floyd's situation, you know, we saw that on tape. And I know there's been a lot of right wingers that are trying to argue that the dude was a bad guy and somehow deserved to die. I don't believe that. But I think we saw a person die on camera. I think we saw a person that didn't need to be treated that way. And that kind of confronts the realism of the situation with us. And that's why it's been as blown up as it has, I think. And I'm from Portland, and I don't like seeing my city, you know, getting smeared across the media constantly as being this haven for Antifa or this, you know, this white supremacist utopia, as it's called. Like, you know, both sides play this really dumb fucking game with Portland. Like, both sides play this really dumb fucking game. And it's frustrating to see, to be honest with you. But I think people out there realize that we have to find a way to, like, really figure out how to train the authorities better to maybe not have these situations. But I'll be honest with you, man, I don't see that really happening. I see it as this, like, overreaction on the left, and then you've got the retaliation and the pushback from the right. And at the end of the day, nothing changes and more people die. You know? That's how I view it, at least. So, let's see here. Ultimate Jetfire 92 says, progressives don't stand a snowball's chance in hell getting into office. You know, good thing Biden's not a progressive. Kamala's not even a fucking progressive, dude. So that's got to be the good shot. I mean, eventually we're going to get a progressive in fucking power. Like, eventually it's going to fucking happen. You know, it wasn't going to be 2016. It sure as fuck wasn't going to be 2020 under the current Democratic leadership, but we are seeing a lot of progressives getting nominated to Congress, and we are seeing a lot more like that. And as that continues to happen, then we're going to see the change. However, here's the kicker: to have that change, and this happens for both sides, but you have to do the impossible, which is take money out of politics. One of the key factors that really worked well for AOC is that AOC was not backed by any corporate donors. So she wasn't beholden to any of them. She didn't have to fundraise for the DNC. As far as I know, she didn't. She might have. But as far as I understand it, she didn't actually work within the DNC on that front. And that's the thing, is a lot of times these politicians get pulled away from work, from their actual elected fucking position, to go out there and crowdfund, basically, like the campaign. They're trying to get donors. They go to all these parties, these dinners, these luncheons, these events. They rub elbows with the rich and the elite. And all that money just fucking circulates and circulates and circulates and circulates. And all these lobbyists and all these corporations and all of these entities pump money, dump money into the system. It happens on both parties. And that's the swamp. That's the absolute swamp. And we see a lot of that. We know a lot. We know about it. But people, they don't ever fucking... You know, like, they don't storm Washington to demand that this stop. They don't storm Washington to demand that there be accountability for these politicians. What they do is it becomes this massive divide. It's us versus us, not us versus them. Them is the problem. And the way the media, again, why the fuck is MSNBC owned by Comcast? Why the fuck is CNN owned by fucking Time Warner, or now AT&T? Why the fuck is Fox owned by Fox? Well, now Fox is less of a conglomerate because they sold all that shit off to Disney. But still, you have corporate-backed media. And in the case of MSNBC and fucking CNN, it's telecom-backed media. And why is that a problem? Because telecom-backed media is some shit that absolutely fucks things up because they're in it for the bottom line. I mean, you know, this is why there's that saying, if it bleeds, it leads. This is what they're into. They are fucking into just running these narratives into the ground because it brings in viewers and that translates to money. That's all it is. And we know that. We all fucking know that. We're not stupid. We're not ignorant. We're not dumb. We're not retarded. We all know this shit. But we play the game because that's what we see in front of us. Because when we go to the restaurant, that's what's on the fucking, you know, the TV. When we go to the bar, that's what's on the TV. Because we ain't got no sports right now. Yeah, nothing worth watching, at least. Do you want to watch a fucking baseball game with no one in the audience? No, I don't. I mean, hell, the MLB's numbers are worse than the NBA right now. And like, you know, that's a big fucking deal. These sports, you know, are losing so much goddamn money. Football is going to be the big kicker. You know, I'm telling you, man, like just fucking bring back gladiators and shit. Just go to prisons and be like, hey, you guys are on death row. You guys want to fight for a chance at life in prison? We're not going to let you out, but we'll let you get some rage out. Look, I'm kidding, but really, I've mentioned this before. Go back and look at the fucking Romans, man, when they had the gladiators and shit, man. That kept fucking people in line, kept them entertained. That's the key. You want to keep society in check. You have to keep them distracted, keep them entertained. Right now, we've got no outside entertainment. We got, you know, we got fucking Disney and Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and all these things. But eventually, you know, people want that social interaction because we're social creatures. So not being able to go to sports games or get together to watch this shit, that's starting to really fucking drag on people. And that's why I think we're seeing a lot of this unrest. It's a lot of pent up anger and everything. I get that. I'm going to grant them that. But in this particular situation, what we're looking at, what we are fundamentally, the core of everything is people are not being able to go out and express themselves and live through vicariously through other things. You know, we realized during this pandemic that celebrities literally mean shit. Idolizing people like Kim Kardashian means nothing because it doesn't put food on your plate. It doesn't keep you alive and safe during a global pandemic. And it means fuck all. They don't mean shit. So our celebrities are useless. Right? Because they're not, for one, they're not coming out with new content. They're not making the rounds on late night TV. Well, they are, but it's like Zoom calls. So like, who fucking cares? You know, the whole system, the status quo has been disrupted. And that's going to be pulling the wool back on a lot of people's eyes. That's going to be opening them up. That's kind of, I don't want to say a red pill situation, because I'm kind of rambling on this right now, and I'll admit. But the way that I view it is that like, we're seeing that a lot of this shit doesn't fucking matter. And as a result of it not fucking mattering, people are getting more pissed off, I think, because I think a lot of people are realizing that they've just kind of spent a lot of their life in a fucking rut. They're fucking asleep, you know? And so they're kind of maybe seeing a bit more. Maybe not everybody, obviously. But the longer this goes on, man, the more. And I don't want to use the term red pilling because it's so fucking stupid 20 years later, but it kind of feels accurate. The more people are going to, I think, maybe come to the realization of what is needed versus what is not needed. You know, sports are a distraction. People like them. They want them. They don't necessarily need them, but what they need is the social interaction that they bring. Movies, bars, sporting events, concerts, orgies. Social interaction. That's what everybody fucking needs right now. All right. Let me just, let's see here. All right. Let me take a look at the chat. Ryan Jacobo says, Time Warner donated to Kamala and that's a problem. I completely agree. Pryro here says, I stopped watching wrestling because there are no crowds. Yeah, exactly, man. The Midnight Fox says, I have no love lost if the major sports lose money. Same here. I mean, hell, dude, I was reading reports like 5 years ago that said that the NFL is probably going to be done, like, and I mean like finito by about 2030. They're just not, kids are not joining Pee-wee. You know, they're going to have to be importing people from other countries, but kids just like, because of CTE and a lot of these other issues, a lot of these people just aren't doing that. So we're seeing this, like we're seeing fewer and fewer people joining into playing football, and that's going to stop a lot of, you know, these teams and shit down the road. So I read 2030, 2031, but this COVID thing, that could ramp that up, dude. That could really ramp that up. And so I think that's maybe why XFL was purchased for $15 million. Make it more of a show. Make it more of a fucking show. People will come on out. So I'm telling you, eventually one day they're going to bring back American Gladiators and it's going to be the biggest goddamn thing on the fucking planet. Let's see. YouTube Made Great Again says, bring on the purge. LOL. Joking, of course. Yeah. Let's see. The Midnight Fox says, you have these folks getting paid millions of dollars for throwing a ball while we have teachers having to worry about PPE and buying supplies. I completely agree, man. That's a fucking problem. That's a fucking problem. We have the teachers are, well, the thing is like, you know, I have family that works in education and they don't know if they're going back. Look at Atlanta last week. You had, you know, Atlanta reopened its schools. That one kid took a picture of a crowded ass hallway, went viral. They suspended the kid for fucking showing people what's going on. That part pissed me off the most. Then because 9 cases popped up, they ended up closing the schools down again and going back to distance learning. Look, I mean, I am not one to 100% back homeschooling because I'm really not a fan of that shit. But like, I am a fan of smaller classrooms and that could be something, you know, that could be how they do it. They could sit there and figure out a way. I mean, think about this. If you want to get kids back to school, have it social distance, but have everything work on like on a shift, right? On like a, you know, like a shift, you're going to have long, you know, teachers are going to have to work their shifts, but they'll have like, you know, maybe, you know, you just kind of, I don't know how it would work, but it's, you'd have to find a way to make it so all of these people are able to like get the education, but still remain socially distanced from one another. Force everyone to wear a fucking mask. I'm sorry. None of this like, oh, I have a card I printed from the fucking internet that says I don't need to wear a mask. Fuck you, bitch. If my 2-year-old can wear a mask, you can wear a mask. I don't fucking care what you think. You get fucking used to it. Let's see. Anyway, all right. YouTube Made Great Again says, that's why I'm glad I'm a gamer. I can just play with my friends and no health risks. Again, that's a good thing. Let's see. Hondo the Razor says, a good thing out of all of this is that SJWs are being laid off in Hollywood and tech because they don't make money. Well, I'm not really hearing it. I mean, there are elements of layoffs that are happening, but it's happening in other places as well. I don't know how much of that I believe, because tech is having issues, but tech is also going to be what gets us through this. So people are working remotely. I'm not hearing about, like, you know, Twitter and Facebook have their employees work from home. So I don't quite know what's happening with that. Other tech companies are doing the same. I see what you mean, but I'm not seeing it myself. Like, I get what you're trying to say. I just haven't seen it myself. So if you have information, like, tweet it at me. I'll take a look at it. Let's see. The Estrius here says, I went to low-income, shitty public schools. I have no sympathy. Distance learning is better. Well, that's fine, man. That's good. I'm not against distance learning, but, like, I understand, like, there's got to be some kind of solution, you know? I mean, and I think the problem with this, really, is that we let the school systems become as fucked as they are, where you've got one teacher with 35 kids. You know, I mean, that's too fucking much, man. Like, that's too fucking much. So at this point, what they should do, I mean, all things considered, what they really should fucking do is hire more fucking teachers, you know, and then really space this thing out a little bit. Like, if the distance learning is terrible, and I have friends that are leaving California as a result of this, they can't handle distance learning for their 2 kids that are kind of younger, I think under 6 or whatever. And so they're just leaving California, going to Idaho, where they don't have to wear masks, I guess. And I'm like, I don't quite know how to take, like, I'm like, okay, that's your life. You guys, I mean, I just, fine, whatever. But that, to me, it seems a little bit on the weird side. So again, you've got this situation where you've got all these kids who need to learn. Hire more fucking teachers. Fuck, it's not like there's not enough of them out there. Now, the problem with that, though, and this is just the reality of it, guys, when you, and like, I mean, it probably catch some shit for this, but a lot of people who go into being teachers, a lot of the women that sign up, they go in to be kindergarten teachers. You know, oh, I want to be a kindergarten teacher. That's what I always fucking hear. I always fucking hear it. It's like, I just want to be a kindergarten teacher. I just want to go teach young little minds, you know? And then so there's a lot of people going to get degrees for teaching and that shit. No one ever says, I want to be a fucking seventh grade science teacher. You know, you never hear anyone set like that's their goal in life. I want to fucking teach seventh grade science. You don't hear that very often. So, but you got to find teachers. And I think that, you know, doing that and then making the classrooms a bit smaller, so it's a bit easier on the teacher trying to teach remotely. I think it's a little bit easier on the kids because they can get more one-on-one time and not feel as rushed. And I think that would be best. But, you know, hey, what do I know? I'm just a lefty progressive from fucking Washington. Let's see here. Okay. YouTube here says, YouTube made great again says, do you think Trump should delay the election for people's safety? Because I got to be honest, I don't trust mail-in voting. Dude, there's nothing wrong with mail-in voting. There's nothing wrong with absentee voting. It's a fucking myth. It's an absolute fucking myth. They are already removing mailboxes in Portland and Eugene. They're already removing sorting stations from postal offices that would help with handling vote by mail. What would you do? He can't constitutionally hold off an election. If we can't push back the fucking census right now, because that's something that, again, is in our Constitution, he's not going to be able to delay the fucking election. It's a ploy. It's a tactic. So he demonizes mail-in voting, demonizes all that shit. And he does it because he knows of how much of an abject failure he's been in this situation. And his recent interviews with Chris Wallace and Axios have absolutely fucking proved it. When you back Trump into a corner, he just starts saying things, hoping to get out of whatever situation he finds himself in. And people like are now more holding his feet to the fire. And like, he can't get away from it. You know, like I saw someone online say, and I'm not a religious person, but I saw someone online say that, you know, like I think God brought COVID to like, you know, or no, was it? They said God anointed Trump. Trump is king. Trump is brought here by the Lord to save us, to save our society, to save our country, to save our economy. Trump is picked by God to be that savior. Now, I'm not a religious person, and I did also hear this earlier today. I thought this was kind of funny. The person responded back by saying, well, my God believes that they brought coronavirus here in order to show how inept Trump is. You know, it's a bit of a pushback state. It's an asshole thing to say. But it makes some sense, right? You challenge religious logic with religious logic, I guess. But think about it. Like, Trump has handled this thing poorly. And now, instead of trying to, like, really work and save Americans, he's more concerned about mail-in voting. Because he knows that he's fucked up so badly in this case. And there's nothing anyone could say at this point to change my mind on that one. You know, like there's nothing anyone could say. I mean, our Senate is so inept that they pushed off. They left the session. They're on vacation until September. They couldn't come up with another agreement on a fucking stimulus package. Right. People are still hurting. Businesses are opening and then having to shut down again. Because people aren't wearing a fucking mask and they're not taking this shit seriously as more and more people die every single day. You know, we're seeing spikes again. You know, I mean, like our whole government is inept. And that's really what this has proven in my mind, is how ridiculously stupid the whole system is. And I'm not an anarchist by any means. I'm not an anarchist at all. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in government. But even I'm like, just fucking raise it to the ground. You know what I mean? Just fucking burn it all to the goddamn ground. And then just, you know what? Maybe something good will come out of it. Maybe if we burn it down, we'll fertilize the soil and something magnificent will grow. And maybe we'll all be better off. But in the meantime, it boils back down to what I said before. Get fucking money out of politics. That's what you have to do. And that would solve a lot of these fucking problems. Okay. Let's see here. Vote by mail because votes can be misplaced. Votes have been misplaced. We know that. So he can actually use the right. He can really do. If he tries to fucking push back, he tries to push back the election, dude, it's fucking, I will take to the fucking streets. I will take to the streets. I'll be like, fuck it. I'll grab my Ninja Turtle mask and my pair of gloves and my, I have hand sanitizer that smells like white lightning and moonshine. I'll head out there with fucking signs. You fucking kidding me? That's bullshit, dude. All right. Let's see here. At least Trump knows what country he's in. I don't understand that one. Okay, let's see. Honestly, if Trump gets reelected for another 4 years, I would have a fun time seeing the chaotic reactions that came from his inauguration. It was like watching this country burn and he loved it. Well, yeah, there'd be a lot of that too. And if he loses, there's going to be a lot of it on the other side. So either way, if you're into chaos and people overreacting on the internet, which, to be fair, is something that we all do quite often, myself included. I'm not gonna lie on that one, but we all do that quite often. So at this point, you know, it's gonna happen either way. I could just imagine like how many tears Ben Shapiro is gonna cry. Kamala. He'll just, you know, do another video where he's talking like about rap lyrics again or whatever the fuck it was. People like, you know, people like Milo and people like Mike Cernovich and all those, you know, idiots from the right are just going to lose their goddamn mind. Because at that point, their meal ticket is going to be over for a while. You know, not right away, but eventually, yeah. You know, they're going to have a few months. They're going to have a few months to consistently attack the left and cry about, you know, Trump. And they're probably going to claim, oh, it was a fake election. It was all rigged. There's votes that are missing. It's all terrible. Never mind that, you know, Trump tried claiming that like 3.5 million extra votes came from fucking New Hampshire, you know? And it's like, no, that never happened, you know? But it's like, this is what I don't get about Trump supporters, man. He lies to your face. He literally lies to your face constantly. And you're like, please, sir, may I have another? Like he just walks up to you and you just smear shit right on your face every fucking day. 20,000 lies. And you're just like, ooh, God, that's nutty. Smell the chestnut mixed with the feces. You know, it's like, that's how it feels to me. Okay, let me go back to click here. Okay. Ryan here says, both of my sisters are teachers and they range between elementary school and middle school. Cool. Let's see. I can't wait to feast on the salt of the leftists after Trump gets voted. I don't think it's going to happen, dude. I'll fully admit it could happen, but I just don't necessarily see it happening. I just don't see it. I mean, I know Biden and Harris is like, I'm not a fan of that at all. I don't know why he picked Harris. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that one. But think about where we are, you know? Where we are, what's happening, all that shit. I think people are like waking up, dude. Fucking the Lincoln Project, those guys are kicking some serious ass right now. They're dropping some hardcore stuff, man. And the Midas Touch was trending tonight with Bi Hannity. And they put out a pretty good scathing video. I mean, it was a kind of a, you know, the gimmick had been done before. Sean Hannity's, you know, in reality, in his words, discussing Biden, but they just kind of put it against, you know, Trump. And like, I get it, but it's that, and that whole thing's been done before. So it's like, it was good, but you know, I like, it's a rerun at this point. Let's see here. Okay. BKane FM says, the thing is, there's no situation where the left will accept if Trump wins. They won't believe it no matter what. I did not and will not vote for Trump, by the way. I don't disagree with you on that one. It's going to be a lot of Russia meddling stuff all over again. And, you know, and I think there's, again, I personally think that there is some truth to it in regards to social media manipulation and things along those lines. I don't know all that's going to be coming out now, but I was reading up a bit about the Michael Cohen book today. That's going to be interesting. What's it called? Disloyal. That motherfucker is going to be dropping. He's going to be, you know, I mean, granted, the dude's looking to like make some serious green. Why the fuck not? He'll make a lot of fucking money when that book drops and everything else. But like, this dude's going to be revealing where, you know, the bodies are buried. And there's already talk about golden showers. Not the P tape from Moscow, but the but apparently like with like hookers or strippers in Las Vegas. Here's the thing with that though, man. The P tape to me is funny as fuck. Cause I want it to exist only because I want to laugh at it. But Trump is a pretty big germaphobe. So I just don't see it happening. Sorry, I didn't mean to yawn. I'm going to probably wrap it up in about 5-10 minutes because I got to get up early and go to the car dealership to get my car worked on. But I want to see it like just to laugh at it, but I don't know if he would actually do it. You know, I mean, it's possible that if he loses and he loses relevance with Putin, Putin would further destroy him by leaking the tape, you know? So if it does exist, one day we'll see it. One day it will come out. But I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. I don't. It's been a long time. But there are other elements of that Steele dossier that are, you know, that are interesting. And I think the one I'm curious about right now is because in the Steele dossier, it alleged that Michael Cohen had traveled, I think, to Ukraine to like set up a back channel with Putin. Now, in the foreword for this book, he does allude to that, like where he did set up a back channel for Putin. And it was reported back in 2017 that Michael Cohen, because his passport didn't like, you know, because he said like, oh, my passport. There's that whole thing where, you know, he showed a picture of his passport and then like, but it was shut, which is kind of funny. It didn't prove anything. But there was a report that said that he flew to Germany and then he took a bus over to Ukraine, which didn't require passports to be stamped. You know what I mean? So like so he kind of got in a certain way. And I'm curious to know if that's real or not. Like, I think the Cohen book is going to be more fascinating than the Mary Trump book. You know, Mary Trump got lucky because everyone's, you know, sick from COVID and stuck at home and everyone played this whole thing up. But Michael Cohen, he's coming out and he's just like, I know where the bodies are. I know where the bodies are. I'm going to show this motherfucker. I know where the body, you know, cash raining down and shit. Because, you know, there's no honor amongst thieves, really. So I'll have to wait and see what happens. But it's going to be, should be pretty interesting. So Pyro here says that Biden didn't pick Kamala. She was chosen for him. I think so. I think it was a Democratic establishment, 100%. Kind of like Sarah Palin with John McCain. But I think they also chose Kamala because Kamala going after, what's his name? Going after Pence in, you know, like in the VP debate is going to be interesting because Pence has got the personality of a jar of mayonnaise. And Kamala's just going to fucking wipe the floor with him. And that's going to be a show of force. That's going to be a show of power. That's going to be what people are interested in. All Biden has to do with Trump, and he did this with both Sarah Palin and Paul Ryan in 2008, 2012, is all he has to do is laugh at him. That's it. That's all he's got to do. Hillary fucked up because Hillary didn't take him seriously. That was her thing. She underestimated Trump. She thought she had it in the bag. Everyone told her she had it in the bag. All the polls said she had it in the bag. All that shit. She fucked it up. She dropped the ball. But Biden has got something on Trump that Hillary doesn't. And that, in my mind, has everything to do with Biden straight up, like, just being able to look him right in the eye and laugh. Hillary took that shit too seriously. She thought he was a clown, and he is a clown. But she thought that he was just someone doing it to raise his profile and didn't actually think he had a shot at winning. You know, that's where she fucked up. She wasn't relatable. And it's not to say that Biden is the most relatable dude on the planet, but he's way more personable than fucking Hillary. You know, Biden's out there riding bikes with his aviators on and shit, flashing those pearly whites, driving a stingray around. You know what I mean? Like, that's more relatable than like grabbing by the pussy. So that's how I view that shit. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But I think all Biden has to do is just laugh at Trump, and like Trump will crumble, man. Because Trump is like, he had Hillary because he knew Hillary hated him, and he could use that against her. He could use it against her. He could just, you know, he cut her off and she was being proper about it. I don't get that vibe out of Biden. He'll just laugh at him. And that's going to show like that. That's going to do more to damage Trump's ego than like anything else and shit. Hillary like didn't fight back at all in any kind of conceivable way that would like show people that Trump was the fool that he is. She went out there and she tried, you know, she was like, I'm Hillary, pantsuit Hillary shit. Fucking all Biden needs is just a good smile and his aviators, and like Trump will crumble, especially now with the mental deterioration that we've seen. There's no doubt in my mind that there's mental deterioration from him, and it's going to be bad. Biden has something Hillary doesn't, a cock. Well, no, it's not that. Hillary's got bigger balls than I think Biden does, to be honest with you. Probably, you know, I would argue she's probably got a bigger dick too. Hillary is fucking tough as nails, but that was the problem with Hillary, is her team underestimated the opponent. Her team underestimated him, and her team and the country ultimately lost. And that is the reality of it. And then Hillary, she's a sore ass loser. She is a sore fucking loser, you know, like popping up, attacking Bernie, attacking Tulsi, writing that shitty What Happened book. You know, I mean, she went as far as to like go to some kind of art installation in like Paris and like read excerpts from her. You know, was it like reading Donald Trump's tweets about her or something? It was something stupid. You know, Hillary isn't relatable. And Tim Kaine was just, what is this guy? You know, like you're like, oh, it's Clinton Kaine. Who the fuck is Tim Kaine? No one gives a fuck about Tim Kaine. You know, we don't need another fucking Paul Ryan. We don't need another fucking Dan Quayle, you know, like even who was the VP under fucking Bush? Cheney. I mean, Cheney was an evil son of a bitch, but like, you know, he at least had some swagger, you know, shot that guy in the face and that dude apologized and shit. So we know that these guys you know, you need someone with a bit of panache. Doesn't matter if they're diabolical or not. You need it. Tim Kaine was like the kind of guy who has like, you know, flavorless oatmeal, and that's what he calls them. Breakfast. Anyway. Let's see here. Durham just indicted a prosecutor in the Flynn case for faking emails. I haven't heard about that, so I can't talk about that one yet. I haven't heard about it. I'm not saying it's not real. That's fucking insane if it is real. I just haven't heard anything about it yet. So, there is that. Alvi here says, I swear Obama made some calls because of the way the Dems dropped out so early. Yeah, dude, I had to have been. There's no way that Biden comes back from like losing terribly in the first three primaries to going over to fucking South Carolina and then scoring a win, and then everyone just bends the knee like he's John fucking Snow. Hell no, man. Something happened with that shit. All right, so I'm gonna go to bed. I gotta be up really fucking early. But I appreciate you guys hanging out. If you guys liked this setup, let me know. Press 1 on the chat if you guys enjoyed it. Like, I like it. I think it's a quaint setup that I've got the voice specializer going on in real time. I'm gonna be playing with this a little bit. Like we will not tonight, but the next time I'm on, I put in a phone number you guys can call in too. Not right now, because I'm not gonna answer shit. But yeah, that's going to be coming here pretty soon. So I appreciate the few people that are here. I know it's late. We'll do it earlier in the day. I'll have some stuff prepared. I just wanted to give it a test. Maybe we'll open up for phone calls. Well, yeah, we'll have phone calls and shit. So Boulder Talk Radio, just chatting, man. What I'm going to do is the murder mystery stuff. I'm going back to podcasting on that one. I'll probably just move the YouTube content over to Forbidden Knowledge and then just talk on here. People seem to enjoy this content more than that content. I'm still going to do that content, but I'm not going to like make it YouTube focused, and I'm not going to chop it up. It's just going to be like a podcast. So, cause yeah, it's like, there's no point if people aren't interested. and that's fine. I need to figure things out too. I can still do this. I can do that. I can do what I need to do in the meantime and everything. So I'm going to go to bed so I can go and work on my car and then work more on my third job that I took. So I got a busy day tomorrow. All right, everyone. Thank you again for coming on in. I really appreciate it. Pyro, yeah, we're gonna cover some new stuff, mostly weird news, maybe some politics, current events type shit. I do want to do focus on some weird shit that I found, and I just didn't get the chance to get to tonight. I was literally doing training. Have I considered getting a co-host? Yeah, I've thought about it. I like the call-ins because I can. It's riffing with people that I enjoy. Even the trolls are kind of fun to fuck with. But I work so erratically that trying to get a co-host is probably going to be tough. I know we had Zero to Heroes in there. I don't know if he's still here or not. Josh is a good guy. He's co-hosted with me on 3 Buck Theater before. He's a good dude. So yeah, we'll figure it out. Again, this is just kind of a tester, and I hope you guys like it. I appreciate everyone cruising on by. Fuck, I took another job. Yeah, I did. It's good money and it's short. It's short money, but it's good money, but it's a temp job. But it's it's something I want to try. So I'm cool with it. I'm going to get coffee in the morning. Until then, I'm going to go black the fuck out. All right, everyone. Thank you again for coming on by. Have yourself a fantastic night wherever the fuck you might be. Stay safe, wear a mask, love your family. And thanks for listening to the very first episode of Boulder Talk Radio.